Book of John, chapter 13, verse 36 through 38. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Heavenly Father, we do ask tonight again for thy blessings to be upon the reading of Holy Scripture. And Lord, as we bring this chapter to a close, we pray, Lord, that you'd help us glean from the truth and principles that you've laid down here in the latter part of this chapter. We just pray, Lord, this evening, that thy will to be done, that you'll teach us something that will help us in our Christian walk. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this is our sixth message in this discourse, in this chapter. I'm going to title this tonight, Peter's Denial. Now, the last couple of weeks, we have looked in verse 31 through 32, speaking of the Father and Son glorified. Then last week in particular, we was in verse 33 through 35. We titled that The Badge of Discipleship. Now, what we find in this chapter, especially beginning in verse 31, is that as Judas leaves the room and he goes out, the Lord begins his discourse here, preparing his disciples, comforting them, teaching them, but preparing them for his coming sufferings, that he would be separated from them. Now, in our verses tonight, verse 36, 37, and 38, there's some good things here, some good principles for you and I. We find that as we come to this section in all of the New Testament, that Peter, he was a part of the inner circle of the 12 apostles. Peter, James, and John, that's mentioned several times together. He was a leader among the 12 apostles. He loved the Lord. I'll say that three or four times tonight probably. And in view of his denial, I want you to see that yes, he made plenty of mistakes, but he loved the Lord. He wanted to defend the Lord. He was willing to fight, as we'll read in a few moments, there in the garden as you get into chapter 18, right before the crucifixion. He was an apostle, but at times Peter spoke without clear understanding of God's will. And this is one of the cases here tonight in this particular passage. Now, as we were looking last week, the Lord Jesus in verse 33, he says in that passage, he said, You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. Now I say unto you. And so Jesus is speaking of his going away from them. That is that, first of all, he's going to the cross. He's going to have to suffer and die. He's going to go to a martyr's death. And he alone can, in this great work of redemption, as the high priest in the Old Testament, can accomplish this. No one can go with him at this time, and no one can help him to bring about redemption for humanity. Well, notice now, as we come to verse 36, he says here, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. So Peter also is going to experience a martyr's death, but not now. And there will come a day when Peter will go through similar experiences. As a matter of fact, Peter died the same way that Jesus Christ died. And tradition tells us that he asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to die exactly the same way as our Savior. And again, I say to you that Peter had a great love for his Savior. Now, Christ pioneered the pilgrim way, the pathway for all of us, and especially for his disciples. So he says in verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Notice in chapter 21, in John chapter 21, let me give you two verses that show us that Peter would, and he did follow the Lord in this area. And notice with me as we come to John chapter 21, and I'm reading verse 18 and 19. Now, the Lord Jesus makes this statement after saying three times to Peter in verses 14 through 17, he asked him, said, do you love me? And of course, we know the answer that Peter gave, and Peter did love the Lord. He said, feed my sheep, or feed my lambs. And then in verses 18 and 19, we find this. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. In other words, he's going to carry you to a violent death, a martyr's death. In verse 19, this spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Turn with me to 2 Peter and notice with me in chapter 1. In 2 Peter in chapter 1, this letter was probably written around 66 A.D., a number of years from where we're reading about in the upper room. And notice with me as we come here, I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. And he says here, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though we know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. He's referring back to the passage we just read. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Go back with me to John chapter 13. So in verse 36, we see here clearly that Peter would follow the Lord in a martyr's death, but he would not go at this present time. It was at least 30 to 40 years later when Peter was an old man. Now notice with me as we come to verse 37. In verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Now Peter meant this, but he still did not understand the Lord's will at this time. He said, I'll lay down my life for thee. As a matter of fact, in Luke 22, verse 23, Peter said, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and unto death. And also in Matthew chapter 26, verse 30 through verse 35, the Lord says unto his disciples here, that they would be offended in him. And again, Peter basically answered the Lord and said, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And he we have here what we're going to read in a few moments in verse 38, again, where that speaking of the cock that should crow, there Peter would deny the Lord. Now, what is interesting is that I believe that Peter meant what he was saying, but Peter is thinking in a little bit different realm with this. Notice in John chapter 18, you see, when Peter said this, "I will lay down my life for thee," Peter is basically saying, "I will defend you, I will fight for you, I'll be willing to die for you in battle." Because we see him taking up the sword in the garden the night before the crucifixion when Judas brings the soldiers in. And so he thought in his mind that laying down his life meant fighting and defending. In other words, physical force. But the Lord had to rebuke him, because this is not according to the gospel. We are not a part of the Islamic faith that live by the sword, many do. But notice he said, I'm coming down for time's sake to verse 10 and 11. "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servants and cut off his ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" So Peter meant what he said, that he would give up his life for the Lord Jesus. And Peter, in his mind, "I will defend you. I will fight for you. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. You're the Messiah." But we find that he loves the Lord, but he's not thinking biblically. He's not thinking scripturally. Does that not happen to us many times? You see, loving the Lord is not enough. We need to be right in our theology and our thinking, and we need to have the mind of Christ. And I'm going to give you an example of this. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. I've had people tell me, and they didn't put it in these exact words, when I would talk to them about these principles, they say, "Well, I didn't sign up for that." And they wouldn't use those exact words. But here's the thing. You've already signed up for it. You're enlisted in God's army and a totally different warfare than what the world fights. And so whether you like it or not, you've already enlisted if you're saved. Amen? Somebody say amen. Now, notice with me in Matthew chapter 16. Let me show you another time where that Peter, and you are familiar with these, but I want to remind you of these. Peter, in the same time frame, he makes a wonderful statement from the Spirit of God, from the Father Himself, and within moments, he makes a statement from the carnal mind. And if he was capable of doing this at this time, how about you and I today? Notice in the Lord is asking them in Matthew 16, he's asking them in verse 13 and 14, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Of course, they say, "Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and Elias, and Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, but verse 15, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter, notice this, answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." I mean, a wonderful statement. The Lord talks about his church, and he says in verse 18, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," that is the testimony that Peter gave, the statement that Peter brought forth, "upon this rock," what Peter had said, "upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Wonderful, wonderful statements and truth. But notice in verse 21 and following. In verse 21. I want you to see here that Peter knew and loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that he was the Messiah. And at the same time, he did not know Christ's will. Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. He probably grabbed a hold of him and said, "This is not going to happen." He's saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Amazing statement. Within the same time frame, gets a revelation from heaven, and then another statement, he's speaking from the flesh and the carnal mind. And this can happen to you and I. He does not understand God's will and God's plan here in this particular case. He's not thinking biblically. He loves the Lord. He's the leader of the disciples, but I want you to understand that our ambition and zeal is not enough. And I mean, or that it needs to be right. You can be zealous and be wrong. You can have ambitions and be wrong as well. But notice now in verse 24, it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, and let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You know what the Christian life's all about? It's about taking up the cross. It's not about fighting in force. We see this all through the New Testament. And you know what? We find that, again, if you're taking notes, in Luke 9, verse 51 through 56, the Lord is on his way to Jerusalem. His time is coming close. And James and John, this is the beloved John. James and John, they make a statement here, and again, it's not according to Scripture, and some folks did not receive the Lord Jesus, and James and John saw this, and they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" And he turned, he rebuked them, and said, "You know not what manner of spirit year of Av, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them." And they went to another village. You see, as we come to the disciples again, they miss the point, as Peter has in a few cases. They miss the point. And this is why that the Lord tells us in Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 8 and 9, that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I'm not quoting that verbatim. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not ours. They're much higher. And this is why we must seek him. He even speaks about seeking the Lord in verse 6 of that chapter. We need to seek him. We need to seek his ways and his will. Again, it's one thing to love him. That's wonderful. But it's another thing for us to know his will and to be right so that we can be pleasing unto him. And you read in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 2, and especially verse 25. Verse 25 is quoted again in chapter 14 and verse 12. And it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So there are a lot of things that seem right to us in our flesh and our carnal mind, and then we find out later that they're not right. And this is why that we're told, and I'll give you this verse in Proverbs 3, probably most of you can quote it, in Proverbs chapter 3, this is why that we're told in verses 5, 6, and 7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Then he said in verse 8, it shall be health unto thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. So, we need to not trust in our own selves. We need not, as he says here, not trust in our own heart and not lean on our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him. And he says that he will direct our paths. And be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So we need to try to cast aside all of our reasonings and our thinking, because many times it's not scriptural, it is not spiritual, but in our own eyes, we think it's the best thing in the world. And so we're to be very careful and not be confident in the flesh, as in 2 Corinthians 12:10. And also in Matthew 6:13, we're to pray that we enter not into temptation. You know why? Because we are frail and weak, and we're a needy people. We really are. Now, there's one or two other verses I want to turn to. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 26 and take John chapter 13 and notice Matthew 26 and John 13. And let me read verse 38, then we can turn loose of this. In verse 38 in John 13, he said, Jesus answered him. Now this is after Peter said, why can't I follow thee? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And the Lord Jesus said this, Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. This is repeated in a couple of other of the Gospels. And, of course, next week, I want to say something about this already, but I guess we'll wait till next week. But that's why in chapter 14, he really begins speaking about comforting their troubled hearts. You got to understand that when Peter makes these statements, he does love the Lord. We see that all through the New Testament. We see it in the Gospels. We see it in his two letters that he writes. They had followed him for three and a half years as their Messiah. And now their Messiah is talking about dying. And so Peter's, in his mind, his love and dying for the Lord is defending him with the sword. Okay? The love is there. But knowing the will and knowing the truth of scriptures was not there at that particular time. So you can understand Peter's frustration. They go into the garden, as we just read in John 18. They go into the garden, and Peter pulls out a sword. He cuts a man's ear off, and some believe he was swinging for his neck, and he ducked, and you know he's swinging to take his head off. I don't know, but anyway, he's ready to defend. He's ready to even die and fighting the soldiers or whatever, and so the Lord stopped him and put his sword up and healed the man that he had injured. And basically said, he that liveth by the sword shall die by the sword. And Peter's frustrated. They're going to arrest his Savior, the one he's been following and been trained by for three and a half years. And I want you to notice another frustration he has. And we're going to close in Matthew chapter 26. Notice Matthew 26, and I am reading in verse 69. Matthew chapter 26, and I'm reading in verse 6. I'm going to begin reading in verse 69, and I want you to notice this. And we see here Peter's frustration as Jesus is carried to the magistrates, as he's carried before the court system, and he loves the Lord, but his way of solving the problems was not God's way. And we must learn that lesson. Notice in verse 69, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came at him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid that was there, this fellow was also a Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Now, he loves the Lord. He's frustrated. He doesn't know what to do. He don't understand all of this. And he tried it his way. It didn't work. And it said in verse 73, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to, what's the next word? Curse. And to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And notice it says, and he went out and wept bitterly. And I want you to write down, I'm not asking you to turn, but write down one other passage. And that is going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, and if you read this, I'd like for you to start long about verse 50 through about verse 62. The reason I say read those passages is because we find in these verses that Peter is following after all that has taken place. It says in verse 54, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Very frustrated, not understanding all that's going on, even though the Lord told him he must die, be buried, be crucified, that this has to be. And here's what verse 61 and verse 62 says. Now, I want you to keep in mind, imagine yourself in the shoes of Peter. Imagine being in Peter's place, and you have denied three times. You've even swore, and you've cursed, and then your eyes and the Lord Jesus' eyes meet. Imagine being in his shoes. He loves the Lord. He's the leader among the apostles. He does not understand everything that's taken place. And I want you to listen to verse 61 and verse 62. And it says, and the Lord... Now this is after that Peter had denied the third time. It says, and the Lord took and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now listen to this. And it says here, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Can you imagine this? After that third denial, and the Lord Jesus turns, they're at a distance, and their eyes meet. And Peter, loving the Lord, seeing this prophecy come to pass, he went out, and it says he wept bitterly. Can you imagine that? We would do the same thing, because he's just frustrated. He wanted to defend the Lord. That is not God's will and God's way, but he did love the Lord with all of his heart. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank thee tonight for this opportunity that you've given us to come together And we pray for the remaining of the service tonight, Lord, that just simply thy will to be done. Lord, help us to learn from the text that we've considered here tonight that, Lord, we need to love thee, but we also need to pray for thy will and have the mind of Christ and be careful with confidence in ourselves and to be careful with our speech. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.